This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
If you love Youth Zone, then love Fletcher's World, one of the awesome regular shows on ORFM. Listen as Fletcher brings you music, chat, and segments like you've never heard before.
Kia ora everyone and welcome to Fletcher's World Season 5, one of Youth Zone's awesome regular shows. My name's Fletcher Tillard and I'm a Year 12 student at John McGlashan College. I love bringing my show Fletcher's World to you, and you can now catch my show fortnightly on Fridays at 4:30pm live on ORFM, or you can download my podcast and listen to it whenever you feel like it. This week we start again with our awesome music segment, Fletcher's Mixtape, which is where I choose a song, I then unpack it a little, and then we listen to the song. This week I've asked my resident podcaster Jack Divers for his music choice for this week, and he's chosen a track that was released way back in the 80s, so stay tuned. And then we have my exciting guest segment, The Rush Report with Jack, who's a Year 13 student here at McGlashan. Today, Jack and I are going to be chatting about all things gaming, as Jack is a huge fan of video games and gaming as well. And then I'll be moving on to my highlights package, the football feed segment, where I'll be having a quick look at some football highlights over the last few weeks as per usual. And my final segment will be Dunedin Drift, which is a fair one for locals or tourists or both, with some suggestions for cool Dunedin hangouts. Last time I talked about the finance street of Dunedin, which is Prince's Street and the Exchange. But what will it be this week? I wonder. And now for my 17th exciting show for 2025, let's get into it. Welcome back to Fletcher's Mixtape, which is where I choose a song, I then do some research on the background of the song, and then we unpack it a bit before listening to the song. For this week's mixtape, we're taking a trip back in time to the 1980s for another classic. Now, this one wasn't my choice. It was chosen by our resident podcaster and my good friend, Jack Divers. The song that he's picked for us today is End of the Line by the legendary supergroup The Traveling Wilburys. The story of the song is almost as famous as the song itself, as it starts with a happy accident and a group of guys who were some of the biggest names you would hear in music history. We're talking about George Harrison from the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, and Jeff Lynne from ELO. Now, this isn't just a band, it's a Mount Rushmore rock and roll. The whole thing started in 1988 when George Harrison was in need of a B-side for one of his singles. He found himself at Bob Dylan's house where he also ran into Roy Orbison. They called up Tom Petty, who was in town, and Jeff Lynne, who was producing Petty's album at the time. The idea was simple, just get together and record a quick track. But they didn't even have a proper studio, as they used Dylan's garage. The result of that first session was the song Handle With Care, and it was so good that Warner Brothers Records said, "This is too good for a B-side. You guys need to make an album." And just like that, the Traveling Wilburys were born. And they created these fictional personas as well, as George Harrison became Nelson Wilbury, Bob Dylan was Lucky Wilbury, Roy Orbison was Lefty Wilbury, Tom Petty was Charlie T. Wilbury Jr., and Jeff Lynne was Otis Wilbury. It was a way to have fun and escape the pressures of being rock legends. They just became five guys making music together. The End of the Line comes from their debut album, Traveling Wilburys Volume 1. What's so amazing about the song is how it definitely perfectly captures their collaborative spirit. It's got this incredible, upbeat folk rock feel driven by a simple acoustic guitar strum. But listen closely. You can hear each of their distant voices taking turns on the verses. You've got Tom Petty's signature, slightly cynical drawl, Bob Dylan's unmistakable harmonica and nasal tone, Jeff Lynne's clean production, and of course, George Harrison's gentle and melodic voice. But the real standout performance here for me is Roy Orbison. His voice, that powerful emotion, operatic delivery, soars on the chorus. The lyrics themselves are really poignant, especially in hindsight. The song is about life's journey and about how we're all just travelling down a road and eventually we reach the end of the line. It's a song of hope and resilience, but it also feels like a farewell. Tragically, Roy Orbison passed away just 6 weeks after the album was released. The music video of For the End of the Line is a tribute to him. In all of his shots, you see a rocking chair, his guitar, and a picture of him, but never the man himself. It's a beautiful and heartbreaking tribute to a legend who, in a way, reached the end of his line far too soon. Now, this isn't just a catchy tune, it's a snapshot of a moment in time, a perfect blend of five musical titans and a bittersweet farewell to one of the greatest voices in rock and roll. And now, with that all in mind, let's get ready to listen. This is the Traveling Wilburys with The End of the Line.
Well, it's all. Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got somewhere to lay. Well, it's
somewhere down the road away, you think of me and wonder where I am these days. Maybe somewhere down the road when somebody plays purple haze.
Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right.
Glad to be here, happy to feel that. And it don't matter if you're by my side, I'm satisfied.
Well, it's alright, even if you're old and gray. Well, it's alright, you still got something to say. Well, it's alright, remember to live.
Did you enjoy that, Jack?
Yes, for sure.
Well, that's all for Fletcher's Mixtape today. Welcome back to the Rusty Report with Jack Divers. Today we are talking about something Jack really loves, gaming. and he's not alone, the New Zealand Plays 2023 study that showed that 79% of Tongata Aotearoa now regularly play video games. Kia ora, Jack.
Kia ora, Fisher.
Now, Jack, you've mentioned to me that in your spare time, you like to relax, quite like to relax by doing some gaming. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Cool. Now, Jack, what's your favourite game you like to play?
Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3? Awesome. Now, I read up on the game and I learned that in the film and in the games, Peter Parker, who is Spider-Man himself, has to deal with a few new enemies, including the Sandman, Venom and Harry Osborn, who's taken over his father's mantle as the new Goblin. Along the way, he'll pick up his famous black suit and fight his enemies with the added power that it affords him. The games don't stick very close to the plot of the film, but they do indeed take the primary story points as a starting position and expands upon them to include many of Spider-Man's famous villains that don't appear in the movie. And now, why do you like the game, Jack?
It's cool.
Do you still play it at home?
Yes, I do.
How old is the game?
Yeah, very old.
And what console do you play it on, Jack?
Xbox 360.
360? Okay then, very cool. Now, Jack, we're talking about Spider-Man 3 today. What's your favourite thing to do in the game?
That bad guys.
And what do you like about being Spider-Man, Jack?
Spider powers.
And who's your favourite villain in the game?
All villain.
All the villains? Wow, that's very cool. Now, Jack, what's the best part of story? Any particular level you like doing?
I start again.
Now, what makes this game so good, Jack?
Eternity.
Oh, so, finally, if you could give the game a score out of 10, what would it be?
6.
6 out of 10? A bit of a very decent score. What level have you got up to in the game?
3.
Level 3? That's great. The Spider-Man 3 game for most platforms features 42 missions and 10 storylines. That's a very complex and you have to rack up some serious hours to even come close to going through all the options. That will be a lot to get to keep you busy, Jack.
I get it, Bolt.
Jack, it's been awesome speaking to you today about gaming and in particular the Spider-Man game. Ka kite, Jack.
Thank you, Fisher.
And now for my next segment, football fans. Alright then, here we go with some of the highlights from the football world over the last few weeks. In the international break, Norway trampled Moldova 11-1 with Erling Haaland scoring 5 goals. Yes, 5 goals! Italy beat Israel in a 9-goal thriller, beating them 5-4. England thrashed Serbia 5-0 at home. Germany beat Northern Ireland 3-1. Paraguay have qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 16 years. Morocco and Tunisia have also qualified for the World Cup. And in the Premier League, Liverpool once again score a last-minute goal, beating Burnley 1-0. Arsenal beat Nottingham Forest 3-0, with Martin Zubimendi scoring his first 2 goals for the Gunners. Man City beat the crosstown rivals Man United 3-0. Tottenham beat West Ham 3-0. And in the Champions League, Arsenal beat Athletic Bilbao 2-0. Juventus draw with Borussia Dortmund in an 8-goal thriller, with the game ending 4-4. Real Madrid beat Marseille 2-1 in their first game of the Champions League season, and Karabakh shock Benfica, beating the Falcons 3-2. Stay tuned for some more football news on our next show. And now for another exciting instalment of Dunedin Drift, where I'll be taking a look at some cool spots to check out in and around Dunedin. Today we're turning our attention to one of the city's architectural jewels, the First Church of Otago. More than just a place of worship, this building is a towering symbol of Dunedin's heritage, a tale of early settlement and a testament to stunning Victorian Gothic architecture. Now, the First Church isn't just your typical church. It's a monumental structure that dominates the city skyline and a remarkable feat of design and construction for its time. The foundation stone was laid in 1868 and the church was officially opened in 1873. Designed by the renowned architect Robert Lawson, the church was built to serve the burgeoning Scottish Presbyterian community that had founded Dunedin. Its construction marked a pivotal moment in the city's development, showcasing its prosperity and ambition of the early settlers. The construction of the First Church was a significant undertaking. Lawson's design was inspired by the great cathedrals of Europe, featuring a soaring spire, a cruciform layout, and intricate stonework. The building's materials, primarily omaru, stone and bluestone, was sourced locally, and the craftsmanship involved in its construction was exceptional. The spire, which reaches a height of 56.4 metres, was a particular challenge to build, and for many years it was the tallest building in the city. The stained glass windows, a later addition, were imported from Scotland and added to the church's grandeur, telling stories from the Bible and depicting from Otago's history. The First Church was more than just a place of worship. It was a social and cultural heart of the city. It was where the community gathered for services, weddings, funerals, and important civic events. The sound of its bells ringing across the city was a familiar one for generations of Dunedin residents, marking the passage of time and calling people to prayer. It was an integral part of the daily rhythm of life in Dunedin, a place of solace and celebration for countless individuals and families. Today, the First Church remains a vital part of Dunedin's landscape and life. While its primary function is still as a place of worship, it has also become a major landmark and a must-see for visitors. The meticulously maintained gardens surrounding the church offer a tranquil space escape from the city's hustle and bustle. And the building itself stands as a powerful reminder of the faith and vision of those who built the city. Its timeless beauty continues to inspire awe and reflection in all who see it. So next time when you're near the Octagon, take a moment to look at the majestic spire of the First Church. And remember, you're not just looking at a building, you're seeing a pioneering piece of Dunedin's history, a monument to its origins and enduring spirit. Join us again on Dunedin Drift, where we uncover the stories behind the places that make our city special. Stay tuned for my next installment, but where will I go off to explore next? Well, that's my 17th show on Fletcher's World for 2025. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. First up today, I had a song that was released way back in the 1980s for Fletcher's mixtape, as we went with End of the Line by the Travelling Wilburys. And then we went on to the Rusk Report, and this week we chatted about all things gaming, as Jack is a huge fan of video games. And then it was on to my football fan segment as I looked over some of the biggest football news from the past few weeks as usual. And finally, on Dunedin Drift for this week, I focused on an iconic landmark of Otipoti, the First Church of Otago. I look forward to seeing you next time on Fletcher's World. Ka kite ono, and I'll see you later. Bye!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.